I am so very excited to be able to stand here this morning behind this pulpit. I can't think of no other calling that would rather do than be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I truly believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ will change the world. Amen? And I'm excited today that we get to be a part of what God's doing in these days, in these ages that we're living in. Amen? And so, you know what? I thank our pastor. I'm thankful that pastor has given me this opportunity. He could have said, you know what? We don't need you anymore. See you later, you know? But he didn't, and I'm thankful that we have this opportunity. And here's the cool thing about it. You know what? You got to be crazy for Jesus, amen? Turn the world upside down. Well, let's go to our Bibles, Acts chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, go ahead. Let me hear those pages turning out there. Or if you have an iPod, iPhone, whatever, iPad, you know, open it up to Acts chapter 10. We're going to go in here, and we're going to look at divine direction. I believe that there are many in this room today, you're seeking something. Who here could raise your hand and say, you know what, I'm looking for something in my life. It could be a family situation, it can be financial, it can be an employment, it can be relationships, it can be the future. It could be a mission trip or where you're going to, Hawaii or Cancun, Mexico. I mean, two of you got that, thank you. All right. But anyways, we're all seeking something. And today, I'm glad to tell you, let me just start off by just telling you this. God wants you to know His will for your life. God does not want you to be in the dark. He don't want you to sit there worrying and stressing and getting yourself all uptight. God don't want that. And so we're going to look at what God says from Acts chapter 10. And many of you have read this over the last few weeks with Pastor. But before we jump into this, let me remind you of the challenges. Now, Pastor gave us our first challenge. He wants all of us to give an equivalent of 1 week's wage to the offering that's coming up. That's giving. Another one is praying. He wants us to pray at least 1 hour per week specifically for our church family. Now, we have lots of opportunities for you to get involved. We have Friday night prayer. We have Sunday morning before church prayer. We have Tuesday morning prayer. We have Wednesday before church prayer. We have been praying during our Wednesday services. So there's lots of Saturday morning prayer. We have lots of opportunities to get involved in praying. Do you think praying is important? Amen. It shouldn't be just a challenge for just these few weeks. It should be something we do every single day. Amen. And then the other challenge is to fast for 24 hours. You know, pick some time during the week and fast for those 24 hours and ask God, what is it that we need to do for the church and how can we get more involved and how can we do these things? Now listen, the whole point of all this is to let God know He's in charge of us. Not our finances, not our bodies, though they scream and cry for food. You know, we're giving everything over to God. And that's part of the thing we're going to see today about divine direction. Divine direction comes when everything is given over to God. When you let go and say, God, I'm going to trust you at what you're trying to accomplish. Amen? And so that's the challenges. Now, there are promises when you do these things, and Pastor has been preaching to us about these things. When we pray, when we fast, when we give, here's what happens. We have divine visitation. Who would like to be visited by heaven? Three of you. Great. Divine revelation, divine direction, household salvation. I have family that needs to be saved. Thanksgiving is coming up. I want to be able to reach them with the gospel of Christ. How do we do it? By turning everything over to God. How about this? Supernatural outpouring. I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life, especially in these days and ages that we live. God wants to do more through us than we can ever think or imagine. Amen? And then we want divine favor. I want divine favor. How about you on your job? You want divine favor. With your finances, you want divine favor. Of course we do. And so now we're going to jump into Acts 10. Are you ready to go with me on this journey? Today, my prayer is that you will have your answers given to you in a simple way. And let's look at it. In Acts chapter 10, verse 10, here we see this. Now, you've read these scriptures over the past few weeks. It says, at Sisera, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family, now notice these words, were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God sometimes. Regularly. I want you to look at it. Regularly. Now, go on. One day, about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Now, I like what verse 4 says. Cornelius stared at him in fear. You know, I think about how the Bible would come alive. If that was me and an angel appeared to me, what would I say, right? Have you ever thought about those things? How cool would that be? But anyways, here's what the angel said. What is it, Lord? He asked. And the angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. Kind of funny, tanner by the sea, tanning. Okay, anyways. Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier, who is one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened, and he sent them to Joppa. Now, if you've been to our prayer services over the last few weeks, our Wednesday night, Pastor kind of talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night. Divine direction. Here we see a man named Cornelius who gets a visitation from an angel who tells him to go find a man he never met. In a place, maybe a town, he has never been in. Are you with me? Now, on Simon Peter's part, he's staying with Simon the tanner by the sea. Isn't that pretty cool? Anyway, he's staying with this man, and so even Peter is finding direction for his life. What if he chose to go somewhere else? Are you seeing how all this is playing together? In the whole context of this chapter, divine direction is taking place. You see Cornelius praying and gets visited by an angel. An angel tells him what to do. Are you with me? Then in this middle part of the scriptures, you see Simon Peter on top of a roof, and he has a vision, and God shows him this big blanket full of unclean animals. And we know what that is. God is wanting now the gospel to go out into all the world instead of the Jewish people, right? And so now, here comes Simon Peter to the house of Cornelius to do some things. Are you guys with me so far? Are you with me? Now, we see a man named Cornelius. He's a Roman centurion. He's praying to the Lord. Now, we don't know what he's praying about, but we do kind of have some hints as we look through this scripture. You know, he could be praying for his family to be saved. Maybe he's praying for the next steps of his life. Or perhaps he's praying for a deeper relationship with God. Who wants a deeper relationship with God this morning? So he's praying for these things, but we do know in verse 33, it says, "So I sent for you immediately." Now he's talking to Simon Peter, "and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Now, a man you don't know, coming to a house of another man he don't know, and he's saying, "Now you need to tell us what the Lord told you." Can you see all these pictures playing out? How awesome is God, right? But here's what we see. At this point, Simon Peter begins to speak the words of the Lord. And you can go into the scriptures and it says that the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius' house. People were saved. They were filled with the Spirit. They were being baptized in water. Listen to me. When the word of God is brought forth, change takes place. Isn't that awesome? Now, from these scriptures, how can we get divine direction? What are the things that we can see from these scriptures? So everybody say number one. Divine direction, number one, comes through salvation. Scripture says that Cornelius was a devout and God-fearing man. When he prayed regularly, he gave to the poor, he did everything he was supposed to do, that's when the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Are you with me? Divine direction from the Lord, one must turn their lives over to Jesus to come into their heart, to forgive them of their sins, and to walk with him every day of their life. Are you with me? The point is this, God's will for you today, besides all the things that you would like to have, a husband, a wife, or a new car, or an insurance package, or a retirement plan, out of all those things, though they're important, God's will for you this morning is that you will be his son and his daughter. God's will for you this morning is that you will be saved. Listen, God can't give you all these other things if you don't know him. Let me just show you people that have all these things that don't know God. Well, they're on Prozac, they're seeing counselors every single day, they're never happy, suicide's taking place, are you with me? The things of this world will not satisfy you. That's why the Bible says you can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, you have profited nothing. So the point this morning, God wants all of you to be his children. There are two groups of people in this room this morning, those that are spiritually dead and those that are spiritually alive. And all you have to do if you're spiritually dead is to call upon the name of the Lord, and the scripture says, you will be saved. Are you with me this morning? So God's will for you, number one, is that you are his son and his daughter. Now let me say this. Whether you know it or not, you are his son and daughter. The problem is, we have to make that choice. Are we going to accept him as our father, as our savior? And God stands there for those that are not following him. And he's saying, oh, if you only knew what I would do for you. Kind of like the scriptures where Jesus was outside of Jerusalem. And he says, I would have taken you in like a mother hen and protected you. God wants to bless you and do amazing things in your life. He wants you to be saved. Let me show you this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of what? The truth. There is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you could be saved. If you were the only one, he would have still came to this earth to die just for you. Check this out. All the promises throughout Scripture are the promises that we can have. Remember that old song when you were younger? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Are you one of them? Well, so am I. All the promises given to Father Abraham are the promises that we have today, but it comes through following him as Lord and Savior. John 3:16, everybody knows this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. This is one of the divine directions from the Lord. We see through the context of this scripture, God is branching out now, right? Instead of the Jews, he's going to the Gentiles. He's sending them out into all othermost parts of the world. We see in a couple chapters later, we see a man named Saul who becomes Paul, right? Who takes the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, here's what I want to say before we move from this point. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ, you are more alive than you ever know. The problem is we kind of cheapen our faith. We think that this salvation is a future destination or a future thing, and it's going to come. Heaven's coming. But God wants you to be alive today. He wants you to operate in the blessings today. The only thing that will change when we die is these mortal bodies will have a new body that will be immortal. Are you with me? We have a body that we can follow God and do the things God has called us to do. My point is this. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're more alive than you ever think or imagine. Are you with me? The problem is we're too busy looking for future. We're too busy trying to find when God is saying become. Become my child. Now, let me say one more thing. It's an equal opportunity playing field. You can have as more of God as you want. Did you hear me? You can have as more of God as you want. Bible says God does not show favoritism, and that's in that scripture. You can get as close to God as you want to get to. Are you with me? So, everybody say number one, divine direction comes through salvation. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you got to get saved. You got to become a child of God. Number two, divine direction comes from Scripture. Acts chapter 10, the Bible says, Cornelius answered. Now he's talking to Peter now. 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour. At 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me. He said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now notice what he says here. Now we are all here in the presence of God to do what? To listen to everything the Lord has commanded you. Then we go down to verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. Now what did Peter begin to speak? Well, verse 36. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel announcing what? The good news. Everybody say that with me. The good news. Of peace through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. Then we jump down to verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, what happened? The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Here's the problem that I see in the church today. We're too busy trying to figure out the unrevealed stuff over the revealed stuff that comes from God. We spend more time trying to figure out who we're going to marry, what job are we going to get, and those things are important, but we still need to go back and see what God has already said about it. Are you with me? We spend more time on the unrevealed than we do on the revealed will of God. Are you with me this morning? And I want to tell you, I'm just going to stand here and I hope I don't lose credibility in your eyes. God has never spoke to me in an audible voice. He has never come to my office and said, "What's up, Jason? Here's my plan for you. You got it. At 8 o'clock, you're going to do this, blah, 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 blah. And then 5 years from now, you're going to do this, blah, blah, blah." No, God has never done that. How God has spoken to me is through his word. As I'm reading his word and as I'm listening to him, God's voice becomes ever present inside me. Are you with me? Another way God has spoken to me is by some of you coming up and saying, God has placed something on my heart and I need to share it with you. You see where obedience comes in, right? So the point is this, we must know the word of God. We must understand what God has already said. Are you with me? You see, God wants you to know his will. God wants you to have all these things revealed to you, but you first have to know this. That's why it's important as followers of Jesus, we take time to read the word of God. Now, I did think it was pretty interesting. I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look up all the places in scripture that says this is God's will for you. And the amazing thing is it came down to seven categories. Look at this. The first thing that we see in scripture is Jesus wants us to what? Be saved. The second thing he wants is for us to pray without ceasing. The next thing is to give thanks in everything. Are you with me? Number four, rejoice always. Number five, submit to authority. Well, that was a tough one. I'll move on to the next one. Number six, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then number seven, avoid sexual immorality. Well, that's God's will for you. Thank you. I'll talk to you later. Some of you are like, well, wait a second, Pastor Jason. I understand that and I see that and those are cool things, but does God care about the details of my life? And I want to tell you, yes, God is interested in the details of your life, but you must first understand the fundamentals, the simple principles of God's word. Are you with me? Right there, those seven things would help many of you in your marriages. Those seven things right there would help many of you on your job. Those things right there would help many of you in your personal life and your personal struggles. Are you with me? Here's the thing. I brought this in. I thought it was pretty cool. I promise to put it back, Pastor Phil. All right? It's the youth. Okay. Vince Lombardi was an amazing coach. He coached the Green Bay Packers, right? Every year, Vince Lombardi would go into his locker room, no matter who the players were, and he would always give them the same speech. He would say, boys, this is a football. Can you imagine some of those guys sitting there saying, yeah, I know that's a football. I threw 85 touchdowns in college. Or I ran with that ball. The point is Vince Lombardi was trying to teach these guys is, if you want to be successful, if you want to be on a victorious team, you have to understand the fundamentals. You see, just like football, there are rules. You can't throw the ball to the wrong person, right, Nathan? Okay, and you can't run out of bounds. Nathan up here is a football coach. Anyways, the point is there's rules, but here's the thing. God wants us to understand the fundamentals. And if we can understand the seven things, the seven fundamentals, our life will be changed and transformed. Are you with me? Here's the point. God wants you to put your mind on things above. God desires to give us the desires of our heart. But we need to understand what he says about those desires. If he gives you the desires of your heart and you can't manage that or be a good steward of that, how can he give it to you? I'm going to keep digging. I'm feeling something. I'm going to get in my little bulldozer and go deeper, all right? Here we go. Many, many times I hear a lot of young people say this, who am I going to marry? Being with Pastor Wayne over the last few years, I'm getting learned. Is that how you say it, Pastor Jeff? Okay, great. Anyways, it's amazing how you can learn from these pastors. We have some awesome pastors, don't we? But the question I hear over and over, especially working with kids and teenagers, you know, as kids are getting older, they start realizing, who am I going to marry? Here's the problem that I see. Teenagers and some of you adults, you're so worried about who, then what? First of all, you know, instead of who am I going to marry, first of all, what does God say about marriage? What does God say about a good man? What does God say about a good woman? What does God say about a godly marriage? Are you with me? You see, if we would spend more time, guys, as you're growing up, in the Word of God, understanding these things instead of your fantasy football team, your life would be different. Are you with me? Hey, I play fantasy football. I love it. Pastor Wayne had to send me to an addiction class to get broken from it. But no, I'm kidding. But listen to me. The problem, I'm not addicted. I shouldn't have said that. But it's enjoyable. The problem is this. We spend more time thinking about things that really don't matter than the things that do matter. That's my point. And here's the thing. I want to just talk to all the teenagers in this room. All your teenagers that you're in a relationship and you're wondering, who am I supposed to marry? Let's just start. Let's just do a little practice. The first thing we know to find divine direction is we need to be saved. So if you're not saved this morning, you need to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Number two, we need to go to what Scripture says, okay? Here's what it says. In 2 Corinthians, now Pastor Wayne, we're probably going to get emails on this one, but I'll take the blunt of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says this, do not be yoked together with an unbeliever. If you're seeing somebody that does not go to church, that does not love God, you're out of God's will. Period. Some of you might be saying, well, Pastor Jason, what if I'm married to someone? No, I don't give you any excuses. You can't get a divorce, okay? You need to pray for that person, that spouse, and love them as Christ loves them and win their hearts to Jesus. The point is this. Instead of jumping into things like many of us do, we don't stop to see what God has to say from His Word. What does God say about it? First of all, okay, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Ladies, what would you do if your husband loved you as Christ loved the church? Amazing, right? You know, another thing you should look at, what does the Scripture say about a man? Okay, is this person I'm with, is he an angry person? If you're going to marry an angry person, you better be careful. The point is this, what does God say about it? Start there first. The second thing, Proverbs 31. Guys, you want to find a good woman? Go to Proverbs 31. It's a good place for guys to start when they're looking for a good woman. This is the one I used on my wife for her to marry me, all right? I went up to her and I said, baby, Proverbs 31 says this, verse 30, the fear of the Lord is more important than physical beauty. I'll see you guys later. You know, when your wife's coming, she says, sweetheart, you need to get back to the gym. Bring that verse out. The fear of the Lord is greater than physical beauty. Oh, boy. Okay. The point is this. As the revealed will of God is understood, the unrevealed will of God begins to surface. Here's the thing. Most of the time throughout Scripture, I don't really think God's going to come to you and say, hey, you need to marry Mike, or you need to marry Steve, or you need to marry Betty, or you need to marry Michelle. Here's the thing you're going to get. It's not who you find, it's who they are. It's not the job pretty much that you're on, it's how you are acting on that job. Are you living according to Scripture? The Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Are you being lazy on your job? You're out of God's will. Are you being unethical on your job? You're out of God's will. See how simple this is? What does God say about it? All right? And no matter what you're searching for, start with the Word of God first. Again, it's about becoming than finding. You know, as Vince Lombardi, this is a football. This is the Bible. Start there. Are you with me? Okay, another example. How about this? You're dreaming about you're dreaming about your vacation, this dream vacation, but your finances are in shambles. This bulletproof, Pastor Wayne. And here's the thing. What do you do? What does Scripture say? The Bible says that you should be good stewards of your money. Romans 13, verse 8 says, owe no man anything. So maybe you just might have to say, I got to put this vacation on hold. Now, vacations are important, and God wants you to go on vacation. But what does God's will say? God's will says that you need to be a good manager of the things that you have. Are you with me? So He can bless you with more. Are you understanding this morning? The point is this. Start with the Word of God. All right, number three. Everybody say number three. Now let's go back. Salvation, Scripture. Now we go to number three. Divine direction comes through the Holy Spirit. Acts 10, verse 44 says this. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Powerful. From Acts 10, revival began to blaze among the Gentiles. Not only were Jews being saved, but now you had Gentiles coming to the faith, proving Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Praise God. You should be shouting this morning. You know why? Because if Cornelius would not have listened or Peter would not listen, who knows what would have happened? But because of this, the door opened to us who are Gentiles to be saved. Now, let me say this. I don't believe God would have been surprised if they would have done something different. But the point is this. We should rejoice because today is the day of salvation. Today, we can have Jesus Christ come into our hearts. We have the Word of God that empowers us to do amazing things. And then the Holy Spirit came. Listen to this. When it comes to divine direction, the Holy Spirit is our game plan. Listen to this. All through Scripture, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit protects us. The Holy Spirit has gifted us to do amazing things. Now, there's two things I want to talk about, and I want everybody to listen to me. How do we find God's will? How do we make those next decisions in our life? Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit has given us a thumbprint. This thumbprint produces desires and passions, giftings and skills, and to fulfill the will of God in our lives. God wants us to fulfill His will, right? In 1 Corinthians 12, it says there are different kinds of gifts, but they are all given by the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve, but they all come from the same Lord. There are different ways to work, but the same God makes it possible for all of us to have all those different things. Look at this. The Holy Spirit is given to each of us in a special way. And that is good for us, for all. Isn't that good? That's good of all. Now, for those teenagers wondering, or those people in the room wondering, what should I do with my life? You should ask yourself these questions. What makes my heart beat? What causes do I want to do something about? Are you with me? For example, some of you get on TV and you start watching heart surgery on the doctor channel or whatever that channel's called. And they open up that person, crack, 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 crack. And they go inside and they start pulling that heart muscle. I don't know what they do. I'm just trying to make this dramatic. While you guys are watching this, I'm laying on the floor, passed out over here. But you're like, oh, that's so cool. Oh, wow. And you're stopping and rewinding it. Oh, that was cool. What if they would have done it this way? You know what I'm talking about? Those passions. I remember when my wife, we were having our third child, and all of my wife's have been C-sections, right? So I said, baby, I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to videotape this thing, all of it. So we get in there, and I'm like all big and bad, tough Jason. Remember, the fear of the Lord is better than physical beauty. But anyways, I'm sitting there at her head, and I said, okay, baby, here you go. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to film it. I stand up. I sit back down. She goes, honey, why aren't you taking it? I said, you don't want to see that. I'm getting kind of queasy right now. No. If I come up to you in the hall and your nose is bleeding and I'm laying on the floor beside you, don't worry about me. I'll come together soon. I didn't tell this in the first service. I'm going to tell it now. I remember when I was trying to figure out God's will for me. And I told my dad, I want to get in the medical field. And one of these days, I went on a job shadow to the hospital. It was St. Francis Hospital, Beech Grove. And I'm like, man, I think it'd be cool to be an emergency medical person, you know? And so they say, oh, why don't you look at becoming a respiratory therapist, you know, looking at all that. So I went in and shadowed one of the nurses and one of those respiratory therapists, and I seen things I cannot share with you. I remember one fella, and God bless him, we were praying for him. He had severe pneumonia, and all these bodily functions were taking place. I'm sitting there going. And the nurse looked at me and says, Jason, won't you go behind the curtain? I went behind the curtain and I left. I didn't say goodbye to anybody. No, I'm serious. That's a serious story. I remember I went home. I sat on the couch for almost 3 hours. My mom was like, are you okay? I said, Mom, you're not going to believe some of the stuff I saw in here. That is not for me. I don't clean up poopy diapers, okay? And then I realized a respiratory therapist don't do that. The nurse has to do it, right? And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. But anyways, God has a funny way. God has a funny way of getting your attention, right? How about this? Some of you guys are so excited about numbers. Oh my goodness, you see numbers and you're just like, it's Christmas. Woo, look at those numbers. Oh, give me that financial report. I'll tear through it like a maniac. Not me. That was the hardest class I ever did in college, accounting 101. What's the difference between debits and credits and credits and debits? Who cares? You know what I'm saying? And it was so funny. Last Wednesday night, I met a lady in the church. That's her passion in her heart. She's like, man, Pastor Jason, if there's anything I can do about crunching numbers, you let me know. And I was like, I'm going to get you hooked up with Dave Nethery, you know? And she goes, oh, Pastor, I love it so much. She dreams about it. I'm like, girl, there's something wrong with you to dream about it. She says, you give me 2 weeks and I'll have you like an accounting. I said, no, you won't, because I'm not going to give you my 2 weeks because I won't get it back. The point is, we all love things, right? We all have different gifts and abilities. Some of you like law. Some of you guys like missions. Is it Hawaii or Cancun? I mean, you know, some of you guys enjoy animals like dogs. How can I help them? Okay, let's move on. Counseling and all these kind of things. God needs all of these things in His kingdom. Here's the funny thing we tell kids all the time. If God's called you to be a doctor, what greater place to witness? They can't leave until you're done telling them what's wrong with them. Right? Isn't that awesome? Here's the point. What is the thumbprint on your life? What is that thumbprint that gives you that heartbeat, that gives you that passion to want to do it? Most of the time, that's the direction you need to go. How about this? The next part of the Holy Spirit is this. He moves upon people, us, so that we can help others. Godly counsel. In this room today, each one of you could be the answer of someone else's divine direction. It's just simply obeying. Now, let me give you another example for me. It's not C-sections or anything like that. But I read this a few months ago and a couple days ago, my family were making a big decision in our lives. And it's like, what do we do? And we came to a prayer service. It's important to come to prayer service because that's when God moves. When you least expect it and you're tired and you're like, oh, if I could just sleep in bed one more hour, that's when God moves. I remember sitting there, a lady came up and she began to pray. And she says, I don't know if I'm telling you this right or if I'm saying this right, but I just got to tell you what God is saying. I said, okay. And she said exactly what I needed to hear. If God can do that for me, can God do that for you? But you're sitting here and you know there's someone you need to be talking to. Maybe they're here, you know someone that on your job that you need to say something to, but you're just afraid. You know what? Here's the thing I want to tell you. Just do it. Who cares how foolish you look? It's God's job to do the rest. Are you with me? Here's the take home. And Vern, if you're here, come on up here. Here's the take home today. Divine direction comes through salvation. Divine direction comes through the Word of God, the Scriptures. Are you with me? Number three, divine direction comes through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. With every decision, I want to give you three questions to ask. Get ready to write these down. They'll be on the screen. Number one, is this decision consistent with biblical principles? Why is the Bible important? It's our life source. It's our game plan. Number two, is this decision consistent with God's thumbprints on me? And then number three, is this decision consistent with wise, godly counsel? All you kids that are sitting out here, all you teenagers, all you college, listen, don't forsake the wisdom and the teachings of your parents. I know I was like you. My dad's not cool. Now I can't get enough out of him. I want to know everything I could possibly know. Never forsake the teaching of your youth pastor, your pastor, your grandparents. I want to finish with one more scripture. Is that okay? It's not going to be on the screen. Solomon in Scripture was one of the wisest men to ever live on this earth. The Bible says there will not be another man like him. Listen to this. God filled him up with wisdom. If you go read the book of Solomon and Ecclesiastes and all those, Solomon had everything. He had the big houses. He had all the money. He was a very intelligent, educated man. The one area I think he had struggled was with his 900 and something wives, but many of us can only handle one, right? Whew. Fear of the Lord is better than physical beauty. But anyways, he comes down to the conclusion of Ecclesiastes. He says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, write this verse down. He says, now all has been heard. Everything that he's been through, everything that he has. He says this, the conclusion of the matter is this, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. Fear God, keep his commandments. If we do those things, everything else will work out. I just sense going back, you know, we talked about marriage. You know the problem sometimes why marriages aren't working is because we put too much pressure on our spouse. We try to make them become Jesus. And I want to tell everyone in this room, the person that you're married to was never created or intended to fulfill all your needs. There's going to be days that you're not going to get along. But here's the point. Only one person can satisfy and fulfill the needs, and that is Jesus Christ. And so maybe the little thing in your house should be this. I love Jesus more. No, I love Jesus more. Because the more we love of Jesus, the greater our relationships are going to be because we take the pressure off that person. Right? Young people, love and want more of Jesus than anything else in this world. We can look at the news every single day. People that have it all, they're committing suicide, they're taking drugs, they're seeing counselors, they can't find peace in their heart. Why? Because they're missing Jesus. Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just cover this room. Lord, I thank you that you do give us divine direction. Lord Jesus, the three processes are salvation, scripture, and spirit. I just pray for the folks in this room, God, that their eyes would be open. And Lord, if there's anyone in this room that don't know you as their Savior, I pray that you would begin to move upon their hearts even now. Let them know, Lord, that you love them and you care for them and you want to do amazing things for them. But Lord, they got to turn it all over to you. With everybody's heads bowed, no one looking around, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to pull you out of your seat. I'm not going to do anything like that. I'm just going to ask you a question. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus and you say, man, Pastor Jason, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. I want divine direction in my heart, but I've first got to accept him as my Savior. Let me see your hand. No one's looking. I'm just looking around. I see the hand over there, okay? Is there anybody else? I see that hand back there. Is there anyone else? You say, Pastor Jason, I've got to give my heart. Now, everybody keep your eyes closed. You ones that raise your hands, okay? No one else is looking. I just want you to look up at me. God has great things in store for you. Let this be the day that you get divine direction over your home, divine direction over your future. And I would encourage you, I'll get down here and pray with you. Our pastors will get down here and pray with you. Why don't you just step out and come? Don't worry about anything else that's going on in this room. This is a day of freedom for you. This is a day of liberty for you. Come on, step out. Come on. Come on, come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Good, good, good. Come on down. Let this be the day. Step out. I'm not going to try to force you or make you, but just come on, step out and let Jesus be your Lord. Come on, come on, come on. Awesome. Go ahead right here. Can I get some pastors to come up here and pray right here? Go ahead and kneel down right there and they'll come and talk to you. All right. Everybody else look up here. How many of you guys know as followers of Jesus, we can do better at knowing Scripture? How many know that we can be filled with the Spirit greater? You know what? If there's things that you're searching for, and many of you raise your hand saying you are, why don't you step out and say, by me stepping out today, I'm going to make a commitment this morning that I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to do your will. I'm just going to open the altars, okay? Don't worry about the games that are going to be starting here in just a few minutes. Just step out and come. This can be the day of freedom. I just feel in my heart, God is going to do some amazing things in many of your lives. Go ahead. If you feel like you need to step out, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Young people, is there something that you're praying for? Step out and say, God, I'm ready to do what you've called me to do. Step out and come. Lord Jesus, I just pray for these ones that are here.
Show me your ways.
Remember, it's an equal playing opportunity. You can have as most of Jesus as you want. You can have his direction for your life as you want. Maybe you're here in your marriage just struggling. You're like, God, what do I do? You say, Lord, make me more like you to love my spouse like never before. Win her heart back. Win his heart back. Go ahead.
Show me your ways. Show me your ways. That I may walk with you. Show me your ways. I put my hope in you.
If you need divine direction in your life, I'll invite you to come and pray. High school student praying about the future, let's pray. Young adult seeking God about the future, let's pray. Seeking God's direction about your business, ministry, relationships, this is your opportunity to come to the Lord. Let's pray together.
Show me your ways. Show me your ways. That I may walk with you. Show me your ways. I put my hope. The cry of my heart is to love you more, to live with a touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your ways. Show me your ways. put my hope in you. The cry of my heart is to love you more, to live with the touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your ways. Oh, the cry of my heart is to love you more, to live with the touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show
seems uncertain in a lot of ways. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to trust God, get as close to Him as possible, and say, God, show me the way. Show me the way, right? About the future, about tomorrow, about my family, about whatever it is. His, God's voice, God's direction to us is so clear. Do what you know you're supposed to do. And all those things that you don't know what to do about, He'll show them to you. Does that make sense? See, here's the deal. We want the angel to come and say, this is what you're supposed to do. And God says, I've already revealed to you the will of God. Do that. And the voice of God, the will of God, will become so clear to you. Does that make sense today? That's God's heart for us, is to do what we're supposed to do. He'll lead us and He'll guide us. You don't have to walk around confused. You don't have to walk around wandering in the dark. You can walk by faith. That's what the scripture says, that we walk by faith, not by sight. But we walk by faith in the Son of God. Amen? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word of the Lord today. We thank you, God, that you love us because we're your sons and daughters. And you desire to give divine direction. Lord, as we are in this season of giving and praying and fasting, we pray for your divine direction upon each one. Upon these who came forward today and on all of us. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying in these last days. Show us what to do. Help us to hear your still small voice. God, renew our commitment to the Word of God, and as we open the Word of God, speak to us. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would lead each of us to be right in the middle of your will. We entrust our lives to you. We entrust our futures to you. And we say, God, show us the way. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. All God's people said, amen. While these are praying, if you would leave reverently and quietly, we hope everyone has a wonderful, blessed day in the Lord. Make sure you go to your small group tonight. Be blessed. We love you.